excuse my voice, people. Being 4:30, I'll declare the March meeting of Hampshire Council open and welcome to the public. And I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which we are meeting today, the Jordanian Bimbin people, and respects their elders past and present. And emerging, just to remind councillors and members of the public that this is audio recorded and is therefore immediately accessible to the press. Note that all present, with a change in the attendance, apologies. A probability of absence will be deleted. I will be in attendance later on. public question time. Time that members of the public can mount the dice, if they feel that way, and ask a question. If not, probability of absences. Members of absence of application to leave. I'd like to apply for the next three meetings as a leave of absence, which I think gives me the option to come in when I'm not even feeling fit. I'm feeling fit today, so watch out. So I apply for the next 3 months leave of absence. Can I have a mover and a second to that? Councillor Hanson, Councillor Fraser, all in favour? Against? Thank you. Confirmation of minutes. Ordinary Council meeting on the 26th of February. Got a motion there, a true and correct record. Councillor Hanson, Councillor Brown. Anyone want to dispute that? If not, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? Against? Carried. No, you're sitting right behind.
My head's in the way.
Your head's in the way. Okay, announcements, presiding member. I do have an announcement. And I'd like to thank Damon for his work here at Shire and Manor over the last several years. How long has it been now, Damon? 3 years?
Two and a half.
Two and a half?
Yep.
It's not an understatement to say that you've made a good impact. You've made a difference to the Shire and Manor. I have no worries in saying that, but what you have done here, you've accomplished a lot. I've been here now for 19 years, and without hesitation, I can say that you're the most active manager in that department you've ever had, without fear of favour or retribution. So, on behalf of the Shire, the people of Manor, you're leaving when some of your big projects are coming to fruition. You still haven't finished putting stones on that on that car park, and also the bridges. I stand in awe of your ability to negotiate native title, heritage, and main road regulations to get where we are through there. So my sincere thanks, and I'm sure the council is unanimous in that way.
Thank you very much.
Disclosures of interest. I had one disclosure of interest, new form, too.
Yes.
Now, Councillor Curtis, hiding behind there. Tank 7, it's a financial pursuant to Section 56 of the Local Government Act. She owns a shuttle bus. That's an item 11.4. No questions of which the notes have been given. Presentations are unknown. Report of members attending committees. We'll go left to right.
Friday 27th of March, interviewed on the ABC Radio Sales in the position of Deputy Shuttle.
Can I claim half this? Sorry.
Yes, of course you can. Friday 27th of March, music festival tour of site and met volunteers. Saturday the 28th of March, attended the ABC podcast on the Manor floor. Wednesday 4th of March, attended and laid a wreath on behalf of the Shire at the police memorial service for Constable Lawrence Buzzer, killed on duty in Manor in 1940. Thursday 5th of March, budget meeting. Thursday 12th of March, CEO performance review. Thursday, 12th of March, Strategic Forum. Friday, 13th of March, Citizenship Ceremony. And I must thank President for allowing me to do that. It is, I think, one of the greatest honours I've ever had, is to make people Australian citizens. Wednesday, 25th of March, CEO Performance Review. Thursday, 26th of March, we visited the Reed Childcare, and earlier before this meeting, the Shire Forum.
Councillor Curtis.
The 5th of March, a budget meeting, the 12th of March, CEO review, 25th of March, CEO KPI workshop, and the 26th of March, the Concert Forum and PCM.
Councillor Fraser.
Thursday, the 5th of March, budget review, again another late meeting, 1 to 6 o'clock, and again, no food. And Wednesday, the 25th, CEO KPI review.
Councillor Brown.
27th of February, Music Festival walk around. 4th of March, the Peace Memorial Plaque Unveiling event for Constable Lawrence Buzzer, who was, as Councillor Fraser, the Councillor Hanson mentioned, was shot in the line of duty in 1940. I'd like to acknowledge the work of Sergeant Keith Tarver, who organised the event and undertook extensive research, resulting in a comprehensive booklet about Constable Buzzer and the event that took his life. On the 5th of March, a budget meeting, 12th of March, a CEO review, followed by the Strategic Forum. 25th of March, the CEO review, KPI setting meeting earlier today, 26th of March, site visit to Reed and the Concert Forum.
Councillor Sly.
5th of March, the budget meeting number one. 12th of March, CEO review meeting, the 12th of March, the Strategic Forum, 25th of March, the CEO review workshop, 26th of March, the Reed site visit, and the Concert Forum.
That's okay.
On the 4th of March, I attended the memorial ceremony for Constable Lawrence Buzzer. I'd like to echo what Councillor Brown said about Sergeant Tarver's work. He really should be commended for what he did. On the 5th of March, the budget meeting, 12th of March, CEO review, followed by Strategic Forum, 25th of March, the CEO KPI meeting, 26th of March, the visit to Reed, 26th of March, Strategic Concert Forum, and of course, this OCM. Thank you.
Nothing to report. Okay.
Mr. President, could I add something?
Yes, you can.
At the historical meeting we had on Saturday, we actually found out a bit of the passable Buzz and filled in a blank space that the family wanted to know. Because when Buzz came out of the police station after he got shot the first time, he knew a young lad walking across with a bucket, and he yelled at the young bloke to run. And the young bloke actually ran, dropped his bucket and took off. Mm-hmm. And they always wanted to know who the young person was and did he go to do it well in his life. And we did find out it was actually Dave Blythe. So he came in local now, got across the border of flowers, and he actually married locally and had four sons, and he had a good life. Very lucky. And that information is going to be passed on to the family.
Okay. Report of officers. 11.1 on the agenda. There is a voting requirement on page 5 of my agenda. We'll move to second for that. Councillor Brown, Councillor Curtis. Councillor Brown.
I note that there are two delegated development approvals, both change of use from a dwelling to a holiday house. 20,000. And recommend that Council receive the report of delegated development approvals for February 2026 as per attachment 11.1.1.
Councillor Curtis.
Nothing to add. It is disappointing to see two more dwellings go through.
Anyone else wants to speak up for or against the motion? If not, Councillor Fraser.
I concur with my two fellow councillors. More holiday homes, what we do not need in our town.
Anyone else want to speak? If not, I shall put it to the vote. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Then two, audit risk improvement terms and references. Another complex item. And there's a seven-part recommendation on page 11. Councillor Hanson moved. Councillor Slater second.
Audit risk and improvement committee terms of reference. Recent changes to the Local Government Act means that existing audit committees must transition to audit risk and improvement committees by June 2026. This reform aims to strengthen local government practices by ensuring that the new committee has an external independent presiding member and external independent deputy to the presiding member. These positions have previously been held by elected members of council. These independent positions will be for a two-year period and will receive an agreed sitting fee. The council will determine the number of elected members on the committee, and in the recommendation with this is all elected members will be appointed. The recommendation clearly outlines requirements to be passed by an absolute majority of council, being establish an audit risk and improvement committee in accordance with Local Government Act effective from the 1st of July 2026. All elected members to be appointed to the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee effective from the 1st of July 2026. Adopt the term of reference for the committee as attached, again which will be effective from the 1st of July 2026. Approves the expression of interest process and criteria to recruit an external independent presiding member and external independent deputy to the presiding member as detailed in the report, and authorise the Chief Executive Officer to proceed with an EOI.
Expression of interest.
Thank you. Expression of interest process and engagement of suitable candidates, and note that a separate report will be provided to Council to formally appoint the successful individuals as committee members, and then to appoint them. And determine that the independent presiding member and the deputy to the independent presiding member will each be paid a sitting fee of $200 per meeting, and that and acknowledge that reimbursement of travel and other expenses may be required, and that the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee will have the authority to meet with the Shire's auditor as detailed in the instrument of the delegation shown in the policy. Thank you.
Councillor Slater.
I have nothing to add.
Anyone else want to speak to this motion? If not, I shall put it as printed on page 11 of my agenda. All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Private 11.3. Page 15, recommendation there. Moving a second to that. Councillor Hanson again. Councillor Brown. Councillor Hanson.
Privacy and responsible information sharing policy. The Shire collects, stores, and uses a broad range of information about individuals, including customers, ratepayers, residents, volunteers, employees, and prospective employees. A significant part of this is personal information. The Privacy and Responsible Information Sharing Act introduces a comprehensive privacy and information sharing framework for state and local government entities. From July 2026, local governments will be required to comply with enforceable information privacy principles, and from January 2027, mandatory notification of breaches that are likely to cause harm will be required. It is noted that in addition to adoption of the policy, there will be required awareness training on privacy obligations, updates to contracts and procurement templates to include compliance, establishment of a data breach register and reporting mechanisms, review of records management, ICT security and access controls, integration with complaints handling, and audit and risk framework. This work will require extensive time and resources. This is mandated under legislation, and so I support the recommendation seeking adoption of the privacy and responsible information sharing policy, and note the development of supporting policies and procedures, including the data breach policy and data breach procedure, to ensure compliance with the Privacy and Responsible Information Sharing Act 2024.
Councillor Brown.
Very well summed up by Councillor Hanson. Just to add that the Privacy and Responsible Information Sharing Policy is a necessary and proactive step to ensure the Shire meets its forthcoming legislative obligation under the PRIS Act and mitigates compliance risk. It also establishes a clear governance framework that promotes responsible information handling, strengthens organisational accountability, and prepares the Shire for implementation of supporting policies, procedures and systems.
Anyone else want to speak for or against? If not, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. 11.4, Councillor Curtis, clear the financial interest in this one. Recommendation. Councillor Curtis left the room at 4:46. There is recommendation on page 18 and 19, two-part recommendation. Councillor Brown, Councillor
Hanson,
maybe. Sorry. Councillor Brown.
The introduction of the exclusive use rider fee provides a fair and sustainable funding mechanism to maintain the NANUP Tank 7 mountain bike park, ensuring it remains safe and a high quality for all users. It also strengthens the link between commercial use and asset upkeep, and aligns with the legislative requirements and supports the Shire's broader strategic objective of financial responsibility, tourism development and long-term asset sustainability.
Councillor Hanson.
The introduction of rider-based fee supports long-term sustainability on the NANUP Tank 7 mountain bike trail network. It provides a direct, transparent link, as Councillor Brown said, between commercial use and the cost of maintenance upkeep of the tracks. This is to ensure that the trail network is maintained to a safe and high quality standard. The mechanism to recover these fees is through the shuttle access licence. The plan is to implement the rider fee immediately to include the upcoming WA Gravity Enduro in April 2026. Under this recommendation, the Council is to endorse the exclusive use rider fee of $10 per rider for approved events at the NANUP Tank 7 Mountain Bike Park as part of the 2026-2028 Shuttle Access Licence Framework. They also give local public notice advising of the new fee and its commencement date, and allocate revenue generated from the rider fee directly to the maintenance and renewal of the Tank 7 Mountain Bike Trail Network.
Anyone else want to speak for or against the motion? If not, I shall put it to the vote. All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Can we invite Councillor Curtis back? Councillor Curtis, can you leave the door open? It's a bit closer here. There's only members of the public who think they're excluded.
Do you want the air conditioner,
Mr.
President?
No, it's fine, yeah. Okay. Oh. Oh. Might need a repair. Okay, 11.5. On page 22, 11.5. Move and second.
May I move that we suspend standing orders to give the opportunity for questions?
Okay.
I'll second that.
Councillor Brown has moved. Councillor Sly has seconded. Standing as we suspend the duration. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Okay, open to discussion.
You go first.
No.
Motion to move back into standing orders. Yep, Councillor Sly. Councillor Chang has moved. That we move back into standing orders. All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. We don't have a mover and signal for the recommendation on page 22. Councillor Brown, Councillor Slide. Councillor Brown.
I too noted the $40,000 increase on page 24 against line item operating fuel costs, fuels and oils, which reflects the current economic environment. However, I'm hopeful and possibly ever optimistic that no future increase in this area will be required, and miracles do happen. Having said that, though, I believe rising fuel costs are likely to place additional pressure on other areas of the budget before the financial year concludes. I have some minor items that I'd like some clarification on, and I will probably follow up on those during our ongoing budgeting process. My queries do not impact on the overall support of the budget review. I also extend my thanks to the Executive Manager of Corporate Services and the team for delivering a comprehensive and detailed report, clearly demonstrating the significant effort invested in this review. Thank you.
Councillor Sly.
So we're budgeting for an operating loss of 825k. The original budget was 1.18 mil. The amended budgeted loss was 575k with a capital loss of 300k. Which has been funded by the brought forward surplus of 1.196 mil. And we're using reserves of cash of 320k, just as an overview. That's what I did sort out in my head. But again, I commend you, Executive Manager of Corporate Services, for the hard work you put into this. Thank you.
Anyone else want to speak for or against? If not, I shall put it. All those in favour? Against, carried unanimously. 11.6, recommendation on page 25. Councillor Sly. Councillor Curtis. Councillor Sly.
The financial statements are presented to Council in accordance with the Local Government Act 1995 and the Local Government Financial Management Regulations 1996. Regulation 34 of the Local Government Financial Management Regulations 1996 stipulate that a local government is to prepare each month a statement of financial activity, reporting on the source and obligation of funds. Section 6.4 of the Local Government Act 1995 requires that financial reports be prepared, presented in the manner and form prescribed in the Local Government Financial Management Regulations. The requirement is for a statement of financial activity with a report to contain material variances. The financial report presented in these minutes includes this as well as other statements of supplementary information. The financial statements for the period ending 31st January 2026 present financial performance for the Shire for the 2025-26 financial year and compare year-to-date expenditure and revenue against the corresponding year-to-date budget. Reviewed the financial report to January, which was very handy to do it with the budget as well, so I have both open. And it is what it is really, isn't it? So the Office of Recommendation is the Council, in accordance with Regulation 34 of the Local Government Financial Management Regulations 1996, receive the financial activity statements for the period ending 31st January 2026 as per attachment 11.6.1.
Councillor Kerr.
Absolutely nothing to add to that. Well done, Tim.
Anyone else want to speak for you? If not, I shall put it. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Payment of accounts, 11.7. Page 28. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Kerrs. And seconder, please. And Councillor Fraser. Councillor Kerrs.
Keep this one simple. I'm just going to go with the Officer recommendation that Council notes the payment of accounts totaling $1,119,592.70 for the period 1st of February 2026 to 28th of February 2026 as per attachment 11.7.1.
Councillor Fraser.
I just have a question though for the Lower Donnelly River Conservation Community Association. They've got their community grant, feral pig grant of $3,000. Are we going to get a report from them, or they, and when do we know we'll get an update?
Through the chair, yes, we will get an update from them and a report. It was going to be reported once they have had some time to do the work.
Okay. And I'm also noticed there's a lot of fuel charges on the credit card. A good idea, you must fill up when you can. Is they vehicles actually got the credit card, or Is there other sort of booking fee that goes on when they're filling up?
Which page are you on?
Sorry, through the chair, this was due to us running out of fuel at the depot. So we ran out of fuel for a period there, and we had to get fuel on credit card to do that. So that's majority of that, I think, is the reason why.
Yeah. I just wondered if the credit cards have been handed out or often they're not, but it's not.
Any other queries?
Yes,
Councillor Fraser.
With the fuel going up so much, are we going to have to increase, I should have asked a question for budgeting, for the transfer car, or that's not going to be affected?
Through the chair, so we pay for fuel on that. At this point in time, we haven't considered adjusting the fees. I would suggest that we maybe just monitor that maybe to the end of the financial year, and see how long-lived the fuel prices are, because that is primarily for a community service, and I would hate to see that service drop off because we adjusted the price by probably quite a small amount.
Yeah, I know you've got to fill up when you have to, so
yeah.
Tomorrow might be more good sense more.
Any other queries, or speak against or for the motion? If not, I shall put it as printed on page 28. All those in favour? Against, carried unanimously. I have a procedural motion now. And the procedural motion is to consider an item of urgent business. So the procedural motion has to carry before it can take on the other item. So you have it in front of you. Let's read it. The council accepts an urgent item 11.8, wellness sector consultation electoral reform. Discussion paper feedback into these meetings proceedings for consideration and decision. Can I have a mover and a second that that's an urgent? Councillor Hanson, Councillor Brown have so moved. Being a procedural motion, you generally don't speak for or against this. I shall put it. All those in favour? Against, carried. So that has now become an urgent item of business, 11.8. There is an item, a motion on the back page of that. Three parts. Move in a second of that, please. Councillor Hanson, Councillor Brown. Councillor Hanson.
We were made aware of, to Swelga, that there was a request for local government to come back with their position on these suggested reforms. We've discussed it on a number of occasions around the table, and what's on here is, I believe, the recommendation of the group as put. We support voluntary participation in local government elections rather than compulsory. We've always had voluntary. I think it would upset a lot of people to be made compulsory. And then to think that people would be fined for not voting at their local elections would seem to be an unfair imposition. The second point supports councillors serving 4-year terms with elections every 2 years, and half the council positions filled at each election. The position that the government is wanting to put forward is that a total spill. Arguments for a total spill is cost saving, and that's about the only thing I can see that it has benefit. The benefit of having a continuity of member experience around the table, continuity, knowledge retention, and mentorship for new council members with than half the council swapping every 2 years. It also provides a stable whole of council mandate and collective accountability. It does, by having a halfway split every 2 years, it enables new blood to come in, but still allows us to have a stable group for them to come into, which is why I would recommend that we authorise the CEO to provide the enforcement back to Welder to support their position.
Councillor Brown.
Before I speak, can I ask through the chair if the CEO can remind us what the voter participation was at the last council election roughly? My understanding was that it was quite high.
Yeah, through the chair, our voter turnout sits around about 50%, which is 50, even possibly 60%, and that's a lot higher than the average across the state.
Yeah, so thank you for that. So I believe that NENOP's participation being so high shows us that we don't need compulsory voting. Some of the other councils that had very low participation numbers of around the 12 to 20%, I believe they've actually got an issue that they need to solve, and this isn't the way of solving it, by having a blanket recommendation that we go to compulsory elections. I also believe that having four-year term elections creates issues of inconsistency. So a full spill, potentially, of all new inexperienced councillors could result in a lag in council business before they became able to catch up on what they're actually needing to know. I'm sure everyone around the table understands and have personally felt that it takes a while to know what you're doing at the table, and to have experienced people around the table is a huge asset. I don't believe it's a cost saving, as I believe that if people are elected and have to sit in the chair for 4 years without having been a councillor before, there would be a number of councillors that would leave mid-term, and that would result in either the same cost or an increased cost because there would be unplanned elections. So for those two reasons, I support the recommendation as read.
Anyone else? Councillor Tang.
Thank you, Councillors Hanson and Brown. I would just like to add, from the viewpoint of a newly elected council member, if I had been faced with a full spill and the potential of sitting here without the mentorship of my more experienced peers, I might not have even nominated. The Department of Local Government wants people to participate and nominate as local government members. And this is not the way to encourage people. What we have now works. Why break it? Thank you.
Anyone else mostly for or against? If not, do you want to write a reply? No? Sorry, Councillor Hanson. Cross that. Okay, I'll put it to the vote as printed on the extra paper. All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. No motions previously given. The meeting needs to be closed. No, it doesn't. Not tonight. I will declare the meeting closed at 11 minutes past 5. Thank you. Councillors, thank you for bearing with me.
Thank you for being here.